from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. I see somebody on the line right now. Hang in there for us. And we will get to you momentarily. We're going through right now the Pacific Division, going through each team in the Pacific Division, non-Kings edition, and finding the players, free agents, potential trades that the Kings could pursue this offseason to either find a starter, bench upgrade, or just a player to take a flyer on.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We got through the Clippers and the Suns last segment. We will get through the Lakers and the Warriors in this segment. You mentioned real quick before we get back to that and get to our caller, somebody at the break asked about when we can expect to start hearing about Kings workouts with draft picks and visits and things of that nature.
Yeah. So I remember the year that Kyle Guy was drafted by the Kings.
The legend.
I went to 99 prospect workouts. Well, not 99 total.
Oh my God.
I saw 99 prospects. So what they would do is they'd bring in like 2 guards, 2 forwards, and 2 centers, or a guard and 4 forwards, something like that. Like,
okay,
whatever. So they can play 3-on-3, mm-hmm, right? And we would go, so every 6, so if you can figure out the quick math there, what is that, 6 and a 99, 18, 13, 14 draft, right? So 14 different draft workouts.
Okay.
So we were going to the arena all the time. And sometimes you get 1 or 2 players. Sometimes you get 1. It kind of depends on the level of the prospect, right?
Mm-hmm. But 7 if it's 14.
Yeah, maybe you're probably right.
Anyways, doesn't matter. Go on.
Yeah. Anyway, so we would go down and we would hang out. We would talk to players. Like, again, that's where you run into a guy like Taco Fall, where you're like, mm-hmm, what in the world? This is... So the Kings under the new regime over the last couple of years have stopped that, which is part of it initially, I think was like, hey, we're going to not do as many because of COVID. And then we get out of COVID. And now it's like, hey, we don't do that anymore, which I don't understand, because what it is free promotion for your team, mm-hmm, all summer long. Mm-hmm. Like, people right now are starved for Kings news through like May and June. Mm-hmm. Why not have reporters in your building talking to prospects every single day?
Every day.
Either way. It's almost like it's secretive, but like, we can even talk about the Davion Mitchell draft. The Kings brought in a ton of players during that draft. They never even once spoke to Davion Mitchell.
Interesting.
So it's not like we even got like misdirection there.
Yeah.
So on occasion we'll get like a text or an email that says, hey, you know, this is who came through today, just a FYI. And other times we get nothing, and we'll start hearing it that, oh, these players drop by. So I don't know who the Kings are going to bring in for the number 13 pick.
Weird.
But because of this draft, they should bring people from 8 to 30. And then, you know, they have a second round pick as well. But we have no idea. Maybe we'll get some murmurs and some rumors. But it's just difficult because we should, like, I don't know why they're doing it this way.
Yeah.
It's their decision, I guess. And it just, like, strangles their coverage for the summer.
Kind of odd. All right, we got Don here. Don, what's going on?
Hey, Kyle. This is Don.
Hey, Don.
Hey, so, like, I listen to the chat sometimes, and I notice that everybody has these high expectations for players. And I think we have to start being realistic, too, on there is no perfect player out there.
Yes.
Everybody that's out there this particular free agency period, there's going to be some flaws there, and we have to be realistic about that.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. Thanks, Don. That's a great point. Tell me what a player can do, not what he can't.
Yeah.
That's the Bill Belichick thing. It's not about what a player can't do. It's about what they can do. And every single player that we're going to talk about, you can make some argument of like, well, that guy can't do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, Bones Island does not play defense.
Not a lot of defense coming out of Bones Island.
No.
Boy, that was close.
Yeah. Good catch. Good catch.
But not a lot of defense there, but he can score the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George isn't a perfect player at this age.
You put the flag down.
You put that flag down.
I caught it. That was like I started to hold and then let go.
Oh, no.
It was awful close.
Even like a player like Paul George, he's 33 years old. He's got injury concerns.
Exactly.
He probably doesn't even view himself as like a 1B anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem.
Yeah. And you got to keep in mind, too, when we're talking about some of these players, Nas Little, Mason Plumlee, it's like backup center, potential rotation guy, but maybe your 12th or 13th guy on the bench.
Yeah, you're hoping for 7, 8, 9, 10, and you could get 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, exactly.
Player on your rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Let's try and fit the Lakers into this segment here.
Okay.
We've got three of them. Taurean Prince is a free agent. We've got Jared Vanderbilt, who we've talked about before, and then Spencer Dinwiddie. I want to start with Dinwiddie because that's the name that kind of jumped out the most to me as we were going through this. And you want to talk Malik Monk replacements? I don't know that there's a better option than Spencer Dinwiddie. I know he's older. I think he's 31 now. And I know that he had a abominable playoffs with the Lakers. He was atrocious. But this is also a guy who's been a microwave scorer in the league. He's averaged 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
For his career, he's 5 assists a game. He had a stretch with Brooklyn last year where he averaged 9.1 assists per game. And I think 23 games with Brooklyn.
That's not bad.
He's a veteran player. I think that you get Spencer Dinwiddie into this type of role where he would have with the Kings, and I think you'd get a really, really high quality player.
Okay. I mean, that's possible. What I would look for Spencer Dinwiddie is like a four, like fit him into the biannual exception, then maybe. Mm-hmm. And again, this is in case you lose Monk, but we're talking about a 6'5" guy who, again, isn't known for his defense. He's a little quirky off the court. Throughout his career, he's been
the crypto guy, right?
Yes. Okay. He's been very erratic throughout his career when it comes to 3-point shooting, but he's had plenty of seasons above 40% and then plenty of seasons below 30. And so you don't really know. My concern is that he gets to Sacramento and he turns into Ramon Sessions.
Mm.
And so that would be my concern that he he goes from like a viable NBA player to not a viable NBA player like very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if we're talking about short-term Malik Monk replacements, if somehow Malik leaves, he would be on some sort of list.
I'm not sure if it's a good thing or bad thing that he was among the most improved player vote getters in 3 consecutive years.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
I don't know if that's good or not. He was also 4th and 6th man of the year voting in 2018-19.
Yeah. Yeah, he averaged 16.8 points per game. It's just that was quite a while ago.
Yeah, no doubt. This past year, for the entire season, he was 10.5 points, 4.7 boards, and he came off the bench in 24 of his 76 games. So I don't know. I think he's an intriguing option that probably wouldn't cost an arm and a leg.
No, totally. And if you wanted a slightly bigger backup point guard than Davion Mitchell, who doesn't play nearly the defense but is much better offensive mm-hmm. player.
Sure.
He would also make sense as playing alongside Malik.
Yeah. Jared Vanderbilt, is that a realistic option?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Jared Vanderbilt. He missed a bunch of time with a foot injury, and there's some concerns there. The reason I bring him up, he's friends with De'Aaron Fox. The Kings mm-hmm. tried to get him before. He signed a four-year, 48. You could literally trade for him into your mid-level exception
yep.
and relieve the Lakers of a four-year contract. Whether it is whether they want to do that or not, I don't know.
Sure.
But if they have the financial ability to go get somebody, maybe that would make sense to them.
Yeah.
To save them luxury tax dollars, and you know, maybe you give up something in return. But I'm not sure that it would cost you all that much. And I think he's a type of player that may work as like a young Bobby Portis in
sure.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
He needs to improve on a lot of things, but still,
particularly offensively.
Yeah, still like a solid defensive, rangy defender.
Yeah,
like long,
sure.
athletic, mm-hmm. and like maybe could play alongside as a starter off the bench next to Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, I would be. I think it'd be interesting how the fit would go with him and Keon Ellis, because a lot of this kind of rides on Keon Ellis continuing to knock down threes and continuing to be a viable offensive threat. But yeah. if he regresses there, you can't play him with Jared Vanderbilt.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about starters. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's like when we're talking about advanced team building, we don't know whether Keon Ellis is a starter, whether Kevin yeah. Herter's a starter, like whether Malik Monk is promised a starting job. Like, there's yeah. all these things that could happen at the shooting guard position, and it does matter that position what happens at the two at the power forward position. So, interesting stuff.
And then Taurean Prince, I don't know, bench option.
Taurean Prince is basically the grown-up version of Keon Ellis.
yeah.
You know, he yeah. is. He's and he can play the two and the three. Like, why not? Like, if you were adding wing depth and you mm-hmm. needed a player that knew how to play and could knock down a big three-point shot, Taurean Prince makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, a lot of the complaints I saw about him coming out of Lakerland this year was that he just got overused.
Mm.
He just got put in the wrong spot.
Yeah. There's a lot of players around that style of mm-hmm. player. Like, he's kind of a poor man's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
Or you could compare him to who's the guy that came over with Domas from the Pacers. Why do I always forget his name? Oh, one of the Holiday brothers.
Mm.
Aaron. No.
Aaron.
Not Aaron.
Justin?
Yes, Justin Holiday.
Okay.
I think.
Playing for the Nuggets now.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's Justin okay. Holiday. Yep.
Did some big shots.
Yeah, I mean, and so is Taurean Prince during yeah. his career. That's kind of the style of player and at this point.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you take a flyer on a guy like that. Maybe you don't.
Yeah, for sure. We still got to get to the Warriors. This bit ended up taking a lot longer than I thought it was going to. We still got to get to the Warriors. We'll do that. We have good idea or bad idea. And I'm going to have James explain some salary cap stuff to me like I'm five. Hopefully that helps you out as well. You, the listener, not you, James. ESPN 1320, we're the insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Good idea or bad idea? Coming up next, we'll also continue our Kings offseason discussion. We'll get to the Golden State Warriors, who have some fascinating names who could be available. We'll get to those next segment. Good idea or bad idea now, though?
Okay.
And I need to make an intro for this. I keep saying that. But what good idea or bad idea is it's three headlines that we weren't necessarily going to dive into. And we say whether that thing that happened in the headline is a good idea or a bad idea. Very straightforward. Number one today, looks like the Cleveland Cavaliers, among the other things they are considering this offseason, are considering moving on from J.B. Bickerstaff, their head coach. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, I mean, we're already starting to see sort of like the murmurs play out. There's a report from Chris Fedor from Bleacher Report that Donovan Mitchell, quote unquote, grew frustrated with some teammates' lack of maturity, focus, playoff level readiness, and willingness to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to fire back on the coach.
Yep.
And so if he loses the star player, that's worse than losing the room.
Yep.
And so I don't know what that means for JB. I don't know that that's a great idea because I think they are building something. I think they just made it to the second round of the playoffs with a very young team.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you take it from there? And if you can't get your players to fall in line and focus during a playoff series, and there's frustration from a guy who you're really trying to sign to a long-term deal who may or may not want to be anywhere near Cleveland, that's probably a problem.
44 and 38 2 years ago, 51 and 31 last year, 48 and 34 this season. They were a first-round exit last year, a second-round exit this year, and dealt with a whole bunch of injury stuff along the way.
Yeah.
If you're, look, if Donovan Mitchell's out and you're hell-bent on keeping Donovan Mitchell, then yeah, you gotta move on. But at the same time, if you're going to say, yeah, hey, we're not going to be able to keep Donovan Mitchell around, I think continuity matters. If you're going to have a little bit of, if you're not blowing it up,
mm-hmm.
if you're not saying Donovan Mitchell's gone, Darius Garland's gone, Jared Allen is gone, it's going to be Evan Mobley, and we're going to build around him. If you're going to keep some semblance of continuity, but you're just moving Donovan Mitchell, I think you have to keep the head coach.
Yeah.
At that point.
I do, you know, Donovan Mitchell did respond to this report,
mm-hmm.
and he said, yeah, I'm sick of y'all sometimes. Hmm. So I'm going to guess that Donovan Mitchell is not as angry and, you know, filled with angst as everyone is leading it on to be.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, he also knows he didn't play in the final two games and they got bounced.
Yeah.
So he can't really sit here and like roast Jared Allen who missed a series or Caris LeVert who missed a game. Like he missed a game. He missed two games too.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that they probably didn't have a chance either way, but they had no chance without him.
I could see in a moment where he wanted to play and couldn't and was frustrated and was like, God, these guys aren't focusing because he can't do anything from the bench.
Yeah.
I can imagine that gets frustrating, and maybe he vented that frustration to somebody and it got leaked that he was I don't know. Or maybe he is and he's trying to save face publicly.
It's also possible that he's showed his frustration in front of his friends and one of his friends said something to the media.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, Major League Baseball is suspending Astros starting pitcher Ronel Blanco for 10 games because of the sticky substance umpires found in his glove during his start against the A's a couple of days ago. One of the umpires who checked his glove said it was the stickiest substance he'd ever felt in a glove since they started doing this. Ronel Blanco contends it was just rosin. Well, you're not supposed to have rosin on your non-pitching hand. No appeal. They're going to take the 10-game suspension and move on with it. That's essentially two starts for Blanco. Good idea or bad idea to suspend players for sticky stuff in their glove?
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea, and I think 10 games for a starting pitcher is perfect because that costs him two starts.
Yeah,
two plus. Two
yep, yeah. That's it. It's you miss a couple, don't do it again, because it is just a massive advantage, man. Being able to up your spin rate or get a better grip on the ball, that's what the rosin's for. That's something that everybody uses. I don't know what he did or didn't have in the glove. I don't know if baseball even investigates that far.
Oh no, they took that. They sent his glove straight to the commissioner's office, for sure. I read that.
Really?
Yeah, they confiscated the glove and sent it directly to the commissioner's office for testing.
Huh. Yep.
They want to know what was on there.
So there was definitely more than rosin inside the glove. Major League Baseball didn't comment on what it was.
Well, Kyle, it was the stickiest substance someone had ever felt, so I don't know. Looking for the flag.
Good. No, we're good.
We survived.
Just getting after it pregame. Number three. Looked like Luka Doncic last night took it upon himself to stop whining at the officials after every single play. I know what you're going to say. I just wanted to talk about it again because holy crap. There was still a little bit of floppage.
Yeah.
There was still the occasional, you know, makes the basket and then turns and shouts at the one ref. And then as he's jogging up the court, locates another ref and barks at them a little bit. But it didn't feel, typically a Luka game feels like an exorbitant amount of complaining at officials. And last night felt like just a normal amount. I think this is a great idea by Luka. Love the rebrand. Love the rebrand for our guy.
I that is what it is. It's a rebrand and I'm here for it. I want to see what he looks like when adversity hits and whether he goes right back to, you know, the complaining Luka.
Yeah.
Crying Luka.
Yeah. Or maybe it's home game six when they know they have a chance to close out the series and he just kind of reverts.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, I want to see like if this is something he can sustain, because he needs to look at the tape as well and realize that he found his joy on the basketball court, and that's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. He's a better player when he's playing that way, when he's not filled with angst and yelling at officials 24/7.
And doing that on the road, and maybe this is part of the calculus for him, doing that on the road takes a crowd out of it. When you're not, when there's a call and you're not running over to the official, because you know how this goes in a home arena.
Mm-hmm.
Call goes against a visitor, people cheer, star player on the visiting team storms over to the official and he's yelling, he's demonstrative, crowd gets louder. And now they're chanting at him, and now it's a whole thing. And now I think that just takes the crowd out of the game. If you're already rolling, and now, hey, you're not giving them any ammo, you're not giving them anything to cheer about, just going to go, okay, didn't like that call, I'm going to let the ref know real quick, and I'm going to go down, I'm going to hit a three on the next possession.
I think at some point the fans started chanting, Luka sucks, and he just like smiled and like enjoyed it. And that's where I hope that he gets, because like, look, he can be one of the faces of the NBA, but he can't be that if he's just so infuriating for so many people to watch.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's great. And like, look, I want to see again, can he sustain this, or is it a one-time thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like the Mavs have dominated that series, and yet it's going to get.
But it's 3-2.
It's so weird to me.
Yeah.
I just, every time I look up, every time I've looked up during that series, it's felt like the Mavs are up by 10.
Mm.
And the Thunder have found a way to battle back and get into some games. Yesterday was ugly, though. Yesterday, they looked like an inexperienced playoff team. That's how yesterday looked.
Hmm.
I think they're going to be so good, though.
Yeah, see, I just kept looking at that series and look at the valuable experience that Chet is getting, that SGA, that Jamal Williams is getting, Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Both Jalen Williams.
Both, yeah, J-Dub and J-Will.
Yeah, I just think that, like, it's a very, very valuable experience that they're getting.
Big time.
Yep.
13 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 turnover for Chet last night. Sometimes you'll see a team like the Hawks that make a run with whatever they did. Was that 2019 where they made that run to the conference finals? And you're like, I don't know how much I buy this. If the Pacers wind up beating the Knicks in game 6 and 7, I don't think they will, but if they do, it's going to be like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I buy the Pacers here as this up and coming. I'm all in on the Thunder. I've seen enough already in this series.
Yeah.
That inexperience might catch up with them, but man.
Just where they're going to be in 3 years. Yeah. Where they're going to be next year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's the battle. That's the battle for the Kings right there.
All right. Caller, I see you on the line. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 is the number. Caller, hang in there. We got to hit a break, but we will get to you after the break. We will continue making our list, our offseason list for the Kings. One last Pacific Division team. It will be the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about them. I'm going to have James explain some salary cap stuff to me. And we have the handoff coming up. Tons to get into in the final segment. You're not going to want to miss it on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Lots to get into, so I'm not going to be derailed by the hat talk that was happening in the chat at the break. We have a caller to get to, and then we've got our King stuff to get to as well. We might have to push the salary cap thing to tomorrow.
Okay.
That's an evergreen type of thing.
I can be relatively quick with it if you want. Go ahead.
Let's get to our caller, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. 1320 if you would like to join the program. Don, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Don? It's Don. How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Don, it's TC. What's up, bro?
What's up, TC? What you got?
What's happening?
All right, Hammer. Hey, look, Hammer. Hey, Kyle. Hey, I'm with y'all. Hey, I see what you were saying, Hammer, when you said before about the disgruntled stars and Donovan Mitchell, when you're like, hey, so, listen, there's no excuses for Monty. Monty, you have to pull the trigger, bro. With all these disgruntled stars ready to get out, Monty has to make a move. There's no patching the Band-Aid, wiping little blood, none of that, bro. Like, you have to, like, swing right now. Like, I'd rather go out swinging for the fences. Like, bro, we try to make a move. We try to get Donovan, T.G., Ingram. Wouldn't nobody do a deal with us? This is our trade packages we threw out. Nobody, like, there's no none of that. Like, oh, we're trying to wait. There's no more waiting there. Donovan wants out. Guys want out. We have to make a move. Kyle and him, what y'all think about that?
Thanks, DC. Appreciate you. Thanks, Don.
Amen.
Yeah, man. I that's it. That underscores every single conversation you and I have about the Kings this year.
Yeah.
We are both in the camp that, yo, it's go time.
It is. You're right there. You're so close.
This is it.
Yeah. I mean, if you can swing for the fences, if there is potential to make a deal, then you got to do it.
Everything's got to be on the table.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is a moment where you're like, okay, like how good of a player can we get?
Yeah,
and we're talking about some really good players. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, like, is again, everyone is friends with Donovan Mitchell in the league. That's what I've learned. But De'Aaron Fox and him have a really good relationship. They've known each other since high school.
Mm-hmm.
They played AAU ball against each other forever.
Louisville and Kentucky.
Yeah. They're close. But everyone is also feels that way with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is a dude who's like universally liked. I also think he'd be a really, really good player to have on a team like the Kings where he's a 1A, and if you have two 1As,
mm-hmm.
you're cooking.
You're in a really good spot.
You are in a really good spot. So yep. I don't know if he's ever going to become actually available or if he's just going to go like leave after next year and go to the Knicks or whatever mm-hmm. it is that he might want to do.
Sure.
But you need to get involved, whether it's Jared Allen or it's Brandon Ingram or it's Donovan Mitchell. Whoever comes up for grabs here,
yep.
go chase.
We should be hearing throughout the offseason, every time there are trade talks involving a player, we should be seeing the Kings are among X amount of teams that have inquired about player Y.
Yep.
And that's just, you have to.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So what we've been doing today, we've gone through the Pacific Division, we've gone through each team in that division, and tried to find players the Kings could realistically pursue either in free agency or trade. The Warriors are an interesting team. They're our final team in the Pacific Division. They're a fascinating team.
Yeah.
Because they're in a spot where they're probably not a title contender. They are a fringe playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And they are well into the luxury tax where any dollars they can save are dollars that they are going to be willing to save.
Yes.
And that might be the goal this offseason more than trying to construct a championship roster. So with that in mind, we've got a few names here. Moses Moody.
Yep.
Gary Payton II.
Okay.
Klay Thompson, we'll ask about. And Kevon Looney. Let's start with Klay, because I think we can, for the most part, take him off the table.
Yeah, I mean, it would be so incredibly difficult for the Kings to figure out a deal that made sense.
Because if he's leaving Golden State, it's because he's getting paid.
Yes.
He's getting like $28 or $30 million a year from Orlando.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I think that that's the case. Like, I think Golden State might stay in the like $15 to $20 million a year range for him,
mm-hmm.
and he might be back there,
mm-hmm.
But that still puts him in a very, very bad situation with their salary cap.
Yep.
They're trying to get below the luxury tax because they don't want to be the repeat offender and then start losing draft picks,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're at $175 million right now. That they can shave that down pretty quickly, and they have some mechanisms to do that.
Yeah. I don't think Klay's an option, though.
No.
I'm taking him off.
Yep.
What about Moses Moody? I don't know. I don't know where Golden State sits with Moses Moody. He's not a regular piece of their rotation, but every time he plays, he's just really effective. But he can't get regular minutes. So maybe they'll move him.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're looking for. I think he'd be a really nice fit for the Kings, though.
It's tough. Every time I watch him play against the Kings, I just keep wondering why he's not playing the whole time.
Every time he plays, ask any Warriors fan. Every time Moses Moody gets on the court, it's like, oh, hey, that went well.
Yeah, wow, he's really good.
DNPCD next game. Like
what in the world just happened?
Did he kick someone's dog?
I don't know if, maybe there's a problem with the way he practices. Maybe there's a problem with, personality off the court. Maybe he's a player that doesn't strike someone as a high basketball IQ player, and then he gets on the court and you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He's also, as far as defense, he's not as good defensively as some people think.
Yeah, he tries really hard, but laterally he's not super quick.
Yeah, he's probably more of a small forward than he is a shooting guard, and that's a problem. They have not used him a lot at that position. Mm-hmm. Look, I think he should be on the list. He's, right around 6'5", 6'6", and he has a 7-foot wingspan. This is a type of guy, the long athletic player that the Kings are looking for. He can really shoot the ball three, and he could develop into a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. In the right system and
rebounds like crazy.
Yeah, I'm okay with him. I think he makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But what do they want, and how many people out there believe that he's a better player than he's been?
So he has 1 year left on his deal, and then he's a restricted free agent next year.
Yeah.
And my question with Moses is, what is what we just said? Why isn't he playing more for a team that could absolutely use him?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the question. Maybe it's a positional fit. Maybe it's, I don't know. But I'd make a call.
Yeah, sure. I think it's kind of the same thing with Nasir Little. Why didn't he play for Phoenix when they needed a long, athletic, small forward that can defend somebody?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to him, he's owed $5.8 million. And then, again, you can work on a rookie extension either now or wait until next offseason when he's a restricted free agent. And you can match any offer.
Yeah.
But they've hurt his value. I don't even know what they would expect in trade for him. I mean, you could trade half of your mid-level exception for him. So $6 million, create a $6 million trade exception for the other team,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe give them 2 seconds. I don't know what it is that they want.
I have no clue.
But I'm confused because they've damaged his value on the mm-hmm. open market for their ability to trade him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think Gary Payton II would be a really fun ad for the Kings.
Hmm.
And he has a $9.1 million player option for this year. I'm guessing he'll pick that up. I think Gary Payton II could help every team in the NBA.
Yeah, I think so too. It's whether or not he can ever stay healthy.
Sure.
And that's always going to be the problem.
But I'm not asking for him to start. I'm not asking for him to necessarily even play 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
There's going to be some nights where he gives you 18 minutes. There's going to be some nights where he gives you 4. But what he does at the point of attack as a defender, what he does as a lob threat, as a rebounder, even at his size, he plays so much bigger than 6'2".
Yeah.
He's a really, really good player.
Yeah, I think as a short term, like, hey, we want to go all in on this season. Like, can we?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he has a player option at 8.1 million. So again, if the Kings were to like look at a trade where you were trade like Chris Duarte, and again, they would maybe stretch provision Chris Duarte, and they could go from an $8 million salary to a $2 million salary. And then they would have to string it out. They'd pay $2 million a year, but that $6 million in savings might be exactly what the Golden State Warriors are looking for. Mm-hmm. And this is one of Mike Brown's guys.
Yeah.
So it's just whether it hurts the development of Keon Ellis, whether it hurts the development of Colby Jones, whether the Kings think that either one of those players can develop into something that you would kind of be taken away from. And you have to remember, he's only 6'2". So he plays so much bigger than what you mm-hmm. think, but he's not very big. So I could see him as like a really, really solid replacement for Davion Mitchell if Davion mm-hmm. Mitchell went somewhere mm-hmm. in a trade, and playing alongside Malik Monk, I think would be
definitely
brilliant.
Yeah.
And even some minutes alongside De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And people would love him here.
Oh, yeah.
He busts his ass every time he's on the court. Love GP2.
He's fun.
And then Kevon Looney. You've talked about Kevon Looney before as a possible backup big.
Yeah.
For the Kings.
So,
and again, this is with the caveat of no idea what Golden State's plan is this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think Golden State, they have a $8 million salary for Looney, but they have a $3 million, like, they can buy him out for $3 million and waive him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess that that's what's going to happen, and then he's going to be available for probably the veterans minimum.
Man.
And so if I'm looking at him as a player, like, would you rather have him or Alex Len? Or would you rather have both? Because in a weird world, you could have both of them where you just sign guys and, you know, in case of emergency, he might not have anything left in the tank. But again, a Mike Brown guy who Mike Brown tried to get here when the Kings signed Rashawn Holmes and, you know, that whole deal, they tried to get him here. Maybe it was the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mike Brown wanted him here. Oh, but he decided to give Rashawn Holmes a shot instead.
Right.
And that didn't work out at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, man. Loon's the man. Just knows where to be. Can pass.
Great passer. Great rebounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't want to say great, but really good offensive rebounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sure. I think he'd be interesting. He also. Just a guy who can come in and pop somebody and who doesn't mind playing 14 minutes a night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Knows his role and is really damn good at it.
Yeah.
All right. That's the Pacific Division. I will put together like a Google sheet or something that we can share and it can be out there so we have a running list.
Okay.
And we will continue keeping track of this as the offseason goes on. I want to start going through some salary cap things.
Okay.
And I want you to explain these things to me like I'm 5.
Okay.
Because the NBA salary cap is crazy convoluted. Because in the NFL, it's very nice. You can do some maneuvering with contracts and stuff. But in the NFL, it's like the salary cap is $225 million. Everybody can have up to $225 million.
Yes.
In salary cap. And that's it. That's flat. There's no tax. There's no competitive balance tax. There's no salary. There's none of that. It is what it is.
Yep.
There's rollover and stuff, but that's the number that every team can get to is the same. So I'll start here. We're going to do one thing a day probably.
Okay.
Explain this to me like I'm 5.
Okay.
What's the NBA salary cap?
Okay. So the NBA salary cap is a number that's based off of what's called basketball related income.
Right.
So it's BRI.
Right.
The players get 51%. The owners get 49% of basketball-related income.
Okay.
Now, this can be, there's a battle over what exactly is basketball-related income, and sure. They go back and forth all the time. And we now are, you know, there are times where we learn that maybe owners were making more. But this is a way that there's a number that's out there in space. It's based off a percentage of all the basketball related income that comes in for all the teams. And then they divide it up and like it's 51% is what the players get.
Okay.
So the number this year is going to be, I think it's either 141 or 142 million. Every team in the league has to be within 10% of that rule. So teams can't do what the Oakland A's are doing. So if it's 141 million, you got to like 10% would be like 127. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So you have to at least have 127. If you drop below that, then you have to make that difference up. You have to pay the rest of your players at the end of the season a salary that would equal to that.
Got it.
So the salary cap, it sounds like really simple. There's 141 million bucks, mm-hmm. but teams can go way above that by either retaining their own player. Mm-hmm. So there's something called Larry Bird rights.
So this is, we will save this part.
Okay.
So the salary cap is $141 million.
Yes.
Ish.
Yes.
And you have to be within 10% of that.
Yes. And then the luxury tax is a second line that is drawn in the sand, which is at $172 million this year.
Okay.
And these numbers will climb incrementally. They'll climb 10% a year because they're going to do what they called smoothing of the new salary of the new
instead
television
instead of one
money.
Big spike, they're spreading it out.
They're going to spread it out over the length of a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So it's going to continuously go up 10 million bucks a year, but also 10% a year, but also the luxury tax is going to go up as well.
Mm-hmm.
The luxury tax, if you go over the luxury tax, which is 172 million bucks, all of a sudden you get really constrained on you're like all of your exceptions and stuff become smaller if you're a tax-paying team.
Right. We'll do a deep dive luxury tax too.
Yeah, and then above that is the first apron, which is like $6.5 million over the first luxury tax, so 178.5. And then there's a second apron, which is $17.5 million over the luxury tax, so like 189.9.
Whatever. 190-ish.
Yeah, 190-ish, right around there. So it's sort of a hard cap, but it's really not. Like, there's a way to go well above it.
Right, but with penalties.
Yes, exactly. And the NBA doesn't allow, like the NFL does, like these massive signing bonuses. They do allow signing bonuses, but those signing bonuses count in first-year salary.
Right.
And they're part of your salary.
Right.
Where the NFL, they spread it over years and have different cap hits and stuff like that.
Right. So we'll continue doing this each day, where I just kind of pick a thing about the salary cap. And we'll talk about it. I just didn't know what the number was. I
the 141, 142?
Yeah, had no idea.
Okay.
Just like, what are teams working under? Like, what's the goal?
Well, and
I didn't know there was a salary floor.
Yeah, and there is a salary floor. There's always, it's, you know, basically you have to be 90% of the cap. So, sure. Yeah.
Got it. Let's get to the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building.
Yeah.
D'Lo and KC coming up at noon.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to throw some names at you that we've been talking about today as potential ads for the Kings. We're going division by division.
Gotcha.
And trying to pick players from each team that the Kings could go after.
I'll tell you right now, I like Brandon Boston.
You're in on Brandon Boston? Oh, you were listening.
Kenny's a P1. To you guys.
Come on. You're in on Brandon Boston?
I like Brandon Boston.
Like a flyer?
Yeah. And Bones Highland, too. That's a guy that I talked about a month ago. Like, man, I love him. As a Malik Monk replacement, it'd be kind of crazy. Like I ain't gonna go too crazy, but like I wouldn't mind them playing together off the bench.
Bones
Highland could distribute the rock. He can distribute the rock.
We can, but I don't. He doesn't play any defense, which is one of the reasons why
he's not
in Denver.
That's why you get GP2.
Yeah,
we'll do that too.
That? Everybody's gonna be 6'3" and shorter. Brandon Boston, Bones Highland. Were you listening when we talked about the Suns?
No, I was in the building at that point.
What about Royce O'Neal?
Yeah, Royce O'Neal's cool. Yeah. That's a good look.
Nasir Little?
I like Nasir Little. I wouldn't see why not. I mean, these are guys that...
Like bench upgrades or flyers?
Bench upgrades. I definitely am with those guys.
Did we have any starters in this group? Any guys that we targeted as
outside of Paul George?
Outside of Paul George,
the one that James said that I don't want to like make it like I'm against. Like I don't have a big problem if like I have no problem if he were to be a Sacramento King. but Mason Plumlee. I like Alex Len. I thought Alex Len did a good job pretty much every time he played. And if it's between Plumlee and Alex Len, I feel like Alex Len might be a little cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with keeping Alex Len.
Yeah, Plumlee's 34. I think either one of them is going to be like
the same price,
veteran minimum. And again, you could have both of them. Also, like,
that wouldn't be a bad thing.
This whole weird story that's circulating right now again with the. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, where the Kings paid Nerlens Noel $300,000 and then he didn't play in the league, and everyone's confused what, like, it was a signing bonus. It's for years of service and stuff. Like, they also, no one mentions they gave Namias Keita $250,000 and then waived him too before he played a game. So,
why are people bringing this up?
I don't know,
but it's like it's been brought up a couple of times, like yesterday. I'm just confused at why that matters. The Kings also the year before gave Sam Merrill like $250,000.
Cavs legend.
Yeah. And hey, look, Sam Merrill is a ball player. Like, I mean, that dude can shoot the rock, but he didn't make the final team and there was nothing they could do. So, like,
if the Kings want to pay me $300,000 to not play for them, I will take it.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
Heck yeah.
Monty, get it done.
I'll take a 10-day contract. A 10-day is like $130,000.
Sit courtside for 10 days?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do anyway.
Stop. Right? Not nearly as often as you do.
Don't do that.
I never sit courtside, everyone.
I did it. Here's a good point.
When they had the media courtside.
3 years. 3 years I sat courtside.
That's true.
I need to bring that back.
This is the thing, though. This is how you know, because I got to sit courtside at a basketball game, and I made a huge deal out of it because it was like, I've never gotten to do this before. I will never get to do this again. Wow, what an experience. Kenny just casually just like might post an Instagram story. You'd never know because it's so casual.
I made a big deal about it, too. Shout out to the Sacramento Sings. Shout out to my man, Jay Cliff. Shout out to my girl, Jennifer.
All those people get you courtside. Yeah, man, that's amazing. He's get to do that all the time. It's old hat.
Shout out to my girl Lania. You know what I mean? Her and her husband. Those are my people too. Just, you know, any one of those people that want to say, "Hey, I can't make it tonight," you know, you could have my seats. I'm all for it.
Okay.
Vivek, you too. If you can't make it in any night, just say. Here's my ticket.
That's one of the things. So the guys we sat next to at the game, I got to sit courtside at. The guy sitting next to us, because we just were like, hey, we don't belong here. Like, this is crazy. The guys we sat next to were like, after the game, came up and they were like, hey, it was great sitting with you guys. Like, you guys were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dope. Because, you know, we're high-fiving and doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing the people that normally sit there don't do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we fumbled the bag because we didn't go like, we were just like, oh, man, great, thanks. Yeah, you too, bro. We didn't like, hey, what's your name?
Yeah,
here's what I do.
What's your IG?
That big time bag fumble by us. Big time bag.
Well, you meet him again next year.
You could have been invited back.
Kenny, maybe you can get me in touch.
There we go.
I'm not in the Chase Center. They don't want me over there. I'll go to the Chase Center, though. Shout out to my people over at the Chase. I'll slide in there for a game or two or something like that.
It's fine if you can find your seats.
That's wild. You just
okay, do you know how hard it is when you're in there and say, my buddy's at the game. Hey, yeah. Hey, where are you sitting? 210? Okay, yeah. Hang on. Yeah, let me go. Okay, let's see. What portal number? floor are you on?
I feel like I've only been to Chase Center once, but that is not the communal feeling that Golden 1 Center is.
Nah, not even a little
like,
bit.
Hey, guys, we're all here together. It's like...
You can't even see... You go to the concourse to eat, and you can't see the court.
But that's a Golden 1 thing. Like, most courts are like that, where you can't see. That was the open-air concept.
Yeah.
It's spectacular. So it's basically like the full-fledged living room, dining room, the open floor concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good idea.
I really think it's great.
They did that.
Yeah.
Top 3 arena in the league. Maybe number one.
We know you've been to all of them, so I'll trust you.
Actually, I haven't been to that many.
I've been to quite a few, and like, it's way better than almost, I think, than everyone that I've been to.
Yeah, I get.
They say Pfizer Forum is 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
Grizzlies?
The Bucks.
Bucks, that's right, yeah.
Oh, so I've not been there. Yeah,
they
but
say it's really, they say it's dope.
Like as far as like ambiance and stuff, it's not the best. But as far as like the feel, the sight lines, everything else, it's probably the best in the league.
You heard it first.
I'm doing some math. I think we have to go.
Oh. Okay.
I usually have this mapped out before we start. Kenny, what do you guys got coming up?
A lot of basketball, and Niner Gang General KC is back.
Oh, we're back?
I'm back.
Let's go.
I'm back.
Let's go.
Stop playing with me. Let's stop playing with my boy Brock.
Acknowledge me.
Let's go. He's back.
Awesome.
Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We will be back with you tomorrow on this very station, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.